A few weeks ago, I came upon a letter sent to me over 50 years ago from an old friend, Alec Brackenridge, from Glasgow's Victoria Park, AC, one of Scotland's top milers back in the 1950s. Alec possessed dual nationality, as a Scots-American, had run 4 minutes 9.2 at his best, and he eventually ran a marathon in 2:28 in 1960 for the United States and the Rome Olympics. Alec's letter went back to the spring of 1954, when the race to be the first man under 4 minutes was gathering pace. Wes Santy was the American hope, but the big danger was over in Australia, John Landy, who had been churning out miles in the low fours week after week after week, and would soon be over in Europe to make further attempts. Time was getting short for our man, Roger Bannister. But then there suddenly arrived the Atlantic City Boardwalk Mile, an attempt by the American half-miler Mal Whitfield to duck under 4 minutes in a straight, wind-assisted, paced run. Okay, so it wouldn't really count as a world record, but it would always be there as the first four-minute mile, and it almost certainly put a few bucks in Whitfield's pocket. And Alec Brackenridge, he had been asked to be the pacemaker. Of course, this was not the first such attempt. One of the greats of the 19th century, the professional runner Crowcatcher Lang, he had run 4 minutes 2 seconds in a straight mile on the Newmarket Turnpike Road on October 30th, 1863. Lang ran 55, 59, 62, 66 on his own, and I'd always thought that that first half mile must have been slightly downhill since it had bettered the existing half-mile record. But the Bell's Life report made no mention of any temporary or general downward gradient. But another account said that the entire road was slightly downhill, with the final 300 metres very soft. Whatever the truth, this was by modern standards a cross-country course, and with a pacemaker, Lang might well have broken 4 minutes. But let's return to the boardwalk and let Alec Brackenridge now speak for himself. Quote, "A good field had been invited to compete in this straight mile in the wooden boards from the steel pier to Convention Hall. Whitfield had been saying that he felt he could beat 4 minutes. I had not been running much, as I had been in my freshman year, but I was invited to the race on the condition that I set a fast pace for 880 yards. The course was roped off to keep pedestrians aside, and motorcycling police were also stewarding the course. Each quarter mile was marked by a large banner, white line on the boards. I ran in tennis shoes. Whitfield, he wore indoor spikes. The start was tremendously fast, with Wilt and Ashenfelter both setting the pace at 56.8 seconds. We'd a following wind blowing us along, and I could not get to take the pace until almost half mile, reached in 1 minute 59.3 seconds. And at this point, another pacer joined the field, which was highly illegal. But I felt that I'd not really done my duty and decided to take them to a fast three-quarter mile, actually about 3 minutes 3 seconds. At this point, being in the lead and seeing Convention Hall not too far ahead, 440 yards looks like 220 on a straightaway, I kept my legs pumping because I knew that Whitfield was on my back and actually finished the race 4 or 5 yards ahead of him. Through the tape, my legs felt completely drained of strength, but I was happy with the result, 4 minutes, 6.3 seconds. But at this point, the officials decided that I was not the most colourful character in the race and that I must be disqualified. So they declared that I was not entered for the race, but I was only a pacemaker. So Whitfield was declared winner in 4 minutes 6.9 and is still listed as the 1954 winner. The race was made even more farcical when he announced he had not tried to beat me because I was only a pace setter. For me, I was given a small trophy inscribed Boardwalk Pace Setter 1954. My coach, Jim Elliott of Villanova, advised me to forget all about the race and never to go near them again. But this I did last year, when I ran in some beach runs and in the AAU 15-kilometre race. I received a lot of favourable publicity, but we decided to forget the whole affair. One reason being that I felt it was a fluke performance, being on a straight track and wind-aided, etc. End of quotes. Back in 1968, I sent Roger Bannister a copy of Breckinridge's letter. He told me that he'd run against Alec on a visit to Scotland, but had up to this point known nothing at all of this boardwalk mile. Now let's go back to May the 6th, 1954. At this time, I was an officer in the RAF, and I was on a fighter command athletics course in Lincolnshire, and having toiled in the blustery wind on the rough track all day, was taking my rest reading a paper in the officer's mess. Suddenly, the head of pole vaulter Jeff Elliott popped round the mess door. "Roger's done it," he said. "Roger's done it."